This is football. I'm Kevin Clark from a hotel room in beautiful central Connecticut. It's my draft reaction, draft thoughts. I don't know how I want to frame it. Winners and losers. I'm just going to riff, guys, because it's Friday morning after a really fun draft. And I think that all the forces that we talked about over the past couple weeks, about how the transfer portal has created more depth, about how the COVID year has created more depth, about how age and these prospects being older and having more. I mean, for God's sakes, Bo Nix had like 1,400 more career attempts than JJ McCarthy. Like, this is a draft where you could get any type of player. All of those forces created what I thought was a delightful first round, full of surprises. I want to go through the five or six things that stood out to me. I think that every single podcast, you guys are probably going through all these podcasts, and all of them are going to start with Michael Penix and the same thoughts. I think it's pretty much unanimous in the national media, which, by the way, whenever the national media is unanimous on something, you can short them 90% of the time and be correct. Let's put that aside. I'm going to get into that. But I want to be the one podcast in your feed that doesn't start with that. So I want to start with the Chicago Bears, first overall pick, and then they get Roma Dunze at 9. I heard a couple of people say on Thursday night, this is the best situation a first overall pick has ever stepped into. I broadly agree. I think that certainly, like, the worst ever was Trevor Lawrence. And we're talking about generational quarterbacks, obviously, or just good quarterbacks. But Trevor Lawrence had the worst of all time. He had Urban Meyer kicking the kicker and going to random suburban Ohio bars, and also just not being a very good coach. That's part of it. I don't think Matt Eberflus is a stud, but I know he's not going to be an open distraction to his franchise. That was the worst situation in the history of football in Jacksonville. The Colts in 2012 were not bad for Andrew Luck. They were not terrible. They were probably a little better than you think. The Peyton Manning Colts were as bad as you think. Just a different life cycle. I think this is the structure. Again, geography is destiny. The structure that the Caleb Williams is going into is significantly better than Justin Fields. Life is not fair for Justin Fields. Sorry to Justin Fields, but that's just the way it works. But then you get Roma Dunze. And the way this went, and this always happens with a quarterback-heavy draft. The best player in this draft is probably not going to end up being a quarterback. It's probably going to end up being, it reminds me of 2011, where a ton of quarterbacks go in the top half of the first round, and there's Hall of Famers littered throughout the board. Hall of Famers. 2016, same deal. Quarterbacks go 1-2. Joey Bosa slips. Not slips, but isn't the first overall pick. Jalen Ramsey isn't the first overall pick. Ezekiel Elliott, say what you will about him about value, he was a hell of a player, isn't the first overall pick. And so you get these guys who slide down. To me, someone like Roma Dunze is that. To me, someone like Joe Alt at 5 in another year, in another era, would be the second overall pick or the first overall pick. The year Jake Long went number one, right? So I think that is what happens. When a quarterback – heavy draft happens. By the way, maybe because of the transfer portal and because these players are older now and because they can find the scheme fits, maybe we're just going to have six quarterbacks in every first round. And I think everybody was like, well, this is an indictment of next year's quarterback draft. No, it's not. It's an indictment, not an indictment. It's a sign of quarterbacks coming out of college more ready than ever and a desperate league that has to have quarterbacks in order to propel certain franchises to keep their jobs, reset the clock, all of that stuff. But I think that when you have a quarterback-heavy draft, that's the easiest way for the fortunes of the entire league to change. That's just what happens because coaches are going to hitch their wagon to some coaches and quarterbacks, and then you get fired. And then more than that, a bunch of teams that don't need quarterbacks end up getting real steals. Real steals. I don't think anybody thought that Brock Bowers was going to slip to 13. I don't think anybody thought that the first defender off the board would be 15. And then someone like Dallas Turner, who I love Dallas Turner, that he slips to 17 with the Vikings. Anyway, long story short, is that what the Bears have done here is, I mean, we say masterclass too much, but it really is an awesome situation that gets them closer to the Packers in the division. I think it's going to be a really tight division. I think the Bears are probably going to win more games than most people think. I think the Bears have a pretty good chance at a wild card position because of the help they've done. And Roma Dunze is going to be a safety blanket. DJ Moore is going to be a safety blanket. Cole Kmet, who's got a bigger contract than I thought maybe he should get, but who cares? That they're already going to dinner with him and all that stuff. I think that this Bears team has played everything right in this draft cycle. Rome Odunze is going to learn from Keenan Allen, the guy that he came on the show and said that he studies film of. He's a Davante Adams type. Like, those guys make quarterbacks' lives easier. Rome Odunze is played a big games last year. He's ready to contribute in that way right away. So the Bears, to me, I'll just say it, the Bears to me are the playoff team. They are a playoff team. I don't think – we did the Danny Parkins thing last week where we argued whether or not they were close or whatever. Who's going to be better in 2027? I still favor the Packers in that debate, but that doesn't – you're not competing against the Packers for a playoff spot. You're competing against them for the division. There's a rising tide lifts all boats thing. The Bears, to me, make the playoffs in 2024. All right, the rest of the top 10, the Chargers – getting Jawalt makes a lot of sense to me. The lack of trades, to me, is really about the smokescreen for J.J. McCarthy. What I mean by that is everybody was like – so there were two sort of concurrent rumors. One was that everybody was trying to trade up to 3 or 4 for a quarterback, Drake May and then J.J. McCarthy. And the other one was that everybody was going to trade up for a tackle. They're very different because – if you're trading up for a tackle, it suggests the market is actually quite soft for a top 5, top 6 pick because you wouldn't mortgage the farm for – as valuable as they are, you would not mortgage the farm for Joe Alt, for J.C. Latham, for Olufoshanu. You would not sell your future for that. You would sell your future for a quarterback. But the entire draft changed when the Patriots said, actually, we love Drake May. We're not trading out of 3 because the Vikings tried. The Giants tried, and then nobody wanted 4. I know nobody wanted 4 because the Cardinals would have taken a Godfather offer because they did last year. Like, Marvin Harrison Jr. is a special player, but Malik Nabers, if you go to 6 or you go to the back of the top 10, there were other options there where you could have – if someone really wanted J.J. McCarthy, the Cardinals were open for business because we saw it last year. And so I think that shows you that this was a 3 quarterback draft as far as elite guys go. And then there was a huge drop off afterwards. And so I don't think that that's anything. I think the J.J. Marley was not a media creation because he obviously went 11th overall, but he was a media creation, a media smokescreen in as much that he was grouped in with the top guys. That was never the case. Teams were never that desperate for J.J. McCarthy. They were desperate for Drake May or Jaden Daniels. You know, I remember when the Niners made that trade that ended up getting them Trey Lance. And obviously it was totally screwy, but I want to take you through how teams view this. I remember a few people said the reason they did it, they didn't have a player in mind, although I do believe they traded up with Mac Jones in mind. The reason they traded up without a specific player ready to pull the trigger on, because again, it was a 3rd overall pick, so it's not like you have – you know exactly who's going to be there. Things can change. But the reason is because they wanted to control the process in an uncontrollable draft, otherwise uncontrollable draft, when there's only a certain amount of good quarterbacks. They want to control over it. And in this draft, the only way to have control is to have a top 3 pick. Either be in position to draft Caleb Williams, position to draft Jaden Daniels, or Drake May. Or any combination of that. Because the Commanders could have changed everything and said, we're taking Drake May at the last second, because there were all sorts of rumors about people saying, oh, no, they don't even know the pick, all that stuff, whatever. But having a top 3 pick was the only way to have control of this draft. And the rumors about the 4th pick being coveted were just totally wrong. Just totally wrong. And it's possible that Arizona themselves were the people – I have no idea. I've not spoken to Arizona. But it's possible they were the folks who were trying to – prop up the idea that the 4th pick was all that valuable. But the Vikings get to go to 10, that's it, and still get J.J. McCarthy without giving up a bunch of stuff that would have ruined their future. The Vikings are going to be good this year. Kevin O'Connell, I mean, remember Chris Sims on this podcast a couple months ago said Kevin O'Connell is one of the best playbooks in football. He's a good guy. People like him. You have Justin Jefferson immediately. The team is pretty good. And I don't think J.J. McCarthy is all that good, but I also think that he can execute the offense. And this goes back. It's funny because it's the Kirk Cousins thing that I always go to. But like, Kirk Cousins can make the throws the coaches want him to make, and he can basically execute the playbook. And that's why coaches love him. So if J.J. McCarthy can do that for a good coach with good supporting cast, they can win. Like, I don't think he's going to be I forget the Daniel Jeremiah term. Just pushers and pullers and tractors and trailers, whatever. I don't think he's going to put a franchise on his back and get them across the finish line. I don't think he's that guy, but he's a guy who can make throws, and I don't know, I guess he can win. But he didn't throw a lot in college. We know he's incomplete. Like, I saw one of the scouting reports was just like, there's no way you can call him anything other than an incomplete evaluation because he didn't throw enough. So if you need a quarterback, if you're desperate, frankly, I know the cost certainty is important with a rookie quarterback, but I would have rather had Kirk Cousins than J.J. McCarthy. I would have rather had Kirk Cousins the next 2 years, let's say, and found your quarterback elsewhere. I believe, and Kevin O'Connell knows quarterbacks a hell of a lot more than I do, I believe there would be more opportunities to get a J.J. McCarthy type of quarterback in the draft in the next couple of years without having to trade up in the manner they did. So I don't love the pick, but I understand it can actually work out. That's all this is value, is figuring out, did you play the game right? Did you play the draft right? Because the best GMs of all time, like if you look at the Packers and the Seahawks were the best drafters of the 2010s, if I'm not mistaken, if you look at some of the analytics. And even they went through like unbelievable dry spells. And so... it's not really, I think we've had a couple GMs on here who've talked about how you miss more on the person than the player and all that stuff. But like, really, sometimes you get unlucky. And so what's most important is whether or not you played the draft correctly. And like, for years, the Patriots were the masters of it. They controlled the draft through never screwing over themselves with value, always playing it right. I just feel like the Vikings could have gotten a quarterback with the same ceiling as J.J. McCarthy somewhere else over the next 2 years if you rolled it back with Kirk Cousins. But that's, I don't know, that's, I understand. I mean, I see that. It was funny. I was doing the ESPN show, and we had Harry Douglas and Spencer Hall and Harry Lyles, and we're all just sitting around it. The phrase, "I see the vision," came out a handful of times, and I think it's actually a pretty good thing to use in this because it's like, okay, I see what you're trying to do. But that doesn't mean I agree with it. I see the vision, but that doesn't mean I agree with it. That's the Vikings for me. I understand what you're trying to do. I wouldn't have done it. All right, let's get to Michael Penix now. The whole thing upsets me. I don't know. First of all, I think the Falcons have done it the right way. They're a better roster. I think Arthur Smith is a weird coach. There was a quote from Terry Fontenot last night that was like, if Michael Penix sits for 4 years, 5 years, whatever, that's a nice problem to have. We'd love that. Whatever. I'm paraphrasing. Man, what? When did you fall in love with Kirk Cousins and when did you fall in love with Michael Penix? Because let me tell you something. You could have gotten Michael Penix at 8 without giving Kirk Cousins $90 million, without tampering. You tampered. It was so funny. I saw a great tweet last night. It was basically like, you know, they didn't tell Kirk Cousins, right, that they were going to do this before the draft or even before free agency, whatever. No hint of it. Someone said they tampered. They had more communication with Kirk Cousins when he was on the Vikings, when they were tampering, than they did in the last 2 months when he was on the roster. They didn't tell him anything. They left him in the dark. And so this is baffling to me. And everybody was like, there was so many – I get it, but there were some people, oh, well, you're getting paid a lot of money. It doesn't matter. Man, he had other options. We've seen this before. Kirk Cousins always does better at the negotiating table than we think. He could have gone somewhere that wasn't going to draft Michael Penix 8 overall. Could have done that. That'd have been great. And so this idea that just because he's getting a bunch of money, he shouldn't be upset, I don't necessarily agree with that. Anybody can feel however they want. I think when you talk about value, where was Michael Penix going to go if he didn't go at 8? Where? I guess you could say, I mean, Denver was always going to take Bo Nix, would Minnesota have taken him over J.J. McCarthy? You have to have a lot of intel there. I just think the value, it made no sense. The plan makes no sense. If you're signing Kirk Cousins, here's the overarching point. If you're signing Kirk Cousins, you think you can win now. So take a player who's going to help you win now or the next 2 years. You're basically saying we're going to do – and I understand. Again, you want to say I see the vision. I see the vision in as much that when we had Thomas Dimitroff, I said, why don't teams take the Jordan Love plan? Why don't teams take the – we're going to take this guy in the first round and we're going to sit him for 2 years and we're going to teach him NFL ball and then we're going to go. A couple things. Number one, Jordan Love was taken later in the first round than 8. And the second thing is that – I mean, everybody says, oh, we want best player available, and nobody likes it when they actually see it, right? When they see it in action, they go, oh, wait, I hate best player available. But this wasn't best player available, okay? This was not best player available at 8. I don't think anyone would agree that the best player in the draft at 8, and I know you're probably not going to take a skill guy or whatever, but I just think there were so many other options. You ruin the rookie contract thing, which is so valuable. It's the reason the Vikings did what they did. Now, you know, remember Jordan Love, they had to pay him like $20 million before he was a starter. And now they're going to have to renegotiate. They're going to have to add on his contract now. They can make a huge extension now. So you take the most valuable thing in sports, the rookie contract, and you basically burn it because you're already going to give that money to Kirk Cousins. By the time Michael Penix is ready in year 3, you're going to be paying some dead money to Kirk Cousins anyway. So that's baffling. But I don't see much of a way here. So what Dimitroff said was that the reason people don't do it is because it scared coaches trying to win 9 games. That's it. They don't want to sit somebody. They want to win now. So I see the long-term thinking and how valuable that can be. I see it. I see the vision. But why would you sign Kirk Cousins? If you're saying we're not scared, we're going to plan for the future, that's fine. Kirk Cousins is the ultimate win 9 games, win 10 games move. The ultimate. It's the win the division right now move. Do it now. And so I just think that there's just two things pulling in opposite directions. I'm sorry to say, I just hate this move. It's honestly like there's two factions of the Falcons pulling, like, who have never even met. They're just doing different, just like, oh, we're going to alternate moves. That's honestly what it feels like. Nothing feels connected. Nothing feels like it's ever – I mean, it's like a TV show with, you know, where you're watching it on Netflix and all of a sudden you're like, what the hell was that episode? The hell was that? Where did that come from? It's like they introduced a new character, like Roy in The Simpsons. I think having a plan – just generally, everybody was like, well, what's the plan here? I think that's the most overrated thing in football. Because just because we can't see the vision doesn't mean they can't, or that they don't have tricks up their sleeve. That's happening right now with the transfer portal in college football, by the way, where every little move in a vacuum is like, whoa, oh my God, they lost this defensive tackle. Well, guess what, man? They probably have 8 more that the team's tampering with, okay? Teams have more intel than we do. But there's no way you can tell me that the Falcons know something that we don't know in this move. There's no way. Even if Michael Penix is good, it doesn't make any sense. Tamper with Kirk Cousins to love him so much, give him that much money, and then say, by the way, we're drafting your replacement. And everyone's like, well, he came off an Achilles. Well, then don't give him the money. If you're that worried about him that you're going to take – 8 on a quarterback, then don't give him that kind of money. Again, it doesn't make sense with the overall narrative of where the organization's trying to go. So I don't like it. I don't like it because I know so many Falcons fans that thought that for the first time this was going – not the first time, but the first time in a handful of years, this was going in a direction where there was going to be a really high floor. And I think that floor has bottomed out.
Why should you bet with Caesars Sportsbook? Two words, Caesars Rewards. Every bet brings you closer to the types of benefits only Caesars can offer. Hotel stays, VIP experiences, sports and concert tickets, and more. It's not just an app, it's an empire. 21 and up, must be physically present in Arizona, Colorado, Illinois, Indiana, Iowa, Kansas, Louisiana, Maryland, Massachusetts, Michigan, Nevada, New Jersey, New York, Ohio, Pennsylvania, Tennessee, Virginia, West Virginia, Wyoming, or Washington, D.C. Sports betting is void in Georgia, Hawaii, Utah, and other states where prohibited. Know when to stop before you start. Gambling problem? Illinois, Maryland, New Jersey, Ohio, Tennessee, Virginia, West Virginia, Pennsylvania, affiliated with Harris, Philadelphia. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem, crisis counseling and referral services can be accessed by calling 1-800-GAMBLER, 1-800-426-2537. Or Maryland, visit mdgamblinghelp.org. Or West Virginia, visit 1-800-GAMBLER.net. Arizona, call 1-800-NEXT-STEP. Colorado, D.C., Nevada, Wyoming, Kansas, affiliated with Kansas Crossing Casino, call 1-800-522-4700. Indiana, call 1-800-9-WITH-IT. Iowa, call 1-800-BETS-OFF. Louisiana, call 1-877-770-STOP. Licensed through Horseshoe, Bossier City, and Harrah's, New Orleans. Massachusetts, if you or a loved one is experiencing problems with gambling, please call 1-800-327-5050. Or visit gamblinghelplinema.org for 24/7 support. Michigan, call 1-800-270-7117. New York, call 1-877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code FIRSTTAKE and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to gamble responsibly. See BetMGM.com for terms. This U.S. promotional offer not available in D.C., Mississippi, North Carolina, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 for New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. For Massachusetts, 1-800-327-5050. For Iowa, 1-800-BETS-OFF. For Puerto Rico, 1-800-981-0023. For West Virginia, visit 1-800-GAMBLER.net. First bet offer for new customers only, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to jetspizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be.
Malik Nabers to the Giants is a really good pick. And I think fantasy-wise, he's going to be a lot better year one. We were going through some of the thoughts on the skill guys last night, just BSing me and a couple friends, a couple people around ESPN. I'd much rather have Malik Nabers if I'm a fantasy guy than someone like Brock Bowers, because you have, if Daniel Jones is not very good, but he can throw the ball down the field, they have no skill guys to speak of that matter on the outside. Malik Nabers is going to have a massive usage rate, and Brian Daboll is going to know how to use him. That's the biggest thing. Like, the biggest thing, say what you like, I guess Brian Daboll doesn't play well with others or whatever, or he's getting in fights with staff. But the thing about Brian Daboll is he's going to do very obvious things with Malik Nabers. He's going to have him in motion. He's going to stack him. He's going to get him open. And when you have a baseline of competence and confidence in offensive play calling, good things are going to happen. So I love the Nabers pick. I think any of the three guys who went in top 10 of wide receivers would have been a perfect fit for Caleb Williams. So any of those guys going at 9 would have been great. I love the Adunze fit. I already alluded to that. But I think all three of those guys are going to be immediate impact players. I think there'd probably be most skepticism on Nabers because of the quarterback situation, but not for me. I think they're all going to be absolute stars. And they went to the right place. Mims to Cincinnati, I just love. I just love huge guys. I just love big people doing and who can move. Jared versus the Rams. So all the rumors were that they were going to go offense. I believe Peter Schrager guaranteed they were going to go offense. That this happens, I do not impugn Peter Schrager at all. I'm sure the Rams told him that they were going offense, and then Jared Verse drops to them because they don't they didn't anticipate no defensive players going in the top half of the draft. Anyway, what I love about Jared Verse is he plays winning football. He's an athlete. He knew when to make his biggest plays on the biggest stage, on the ACC championship game and against Florida. And if you're consistently in the backfield on 3rd and 7, when your season's on the line, when your quarterback is out and your quarterback looks terrible, in the case of Florida State with Tate Rodemaker, the backup quarterback, he knew how to win. And I think that he's going to fit in Los Angeles, and I really like that. There's a drop-off later in the first round. I think this is probably, I'd say, a 20-guy draft for guys I just love. And then you get into what Jim Nagy and I were talking about, which is the portal portion, where it's older players who are really rock solid, or just they don't have to be older, but rock solid selections. A lot of depth in the first 4 rounds, and it drops off. This is a deep draft. So an example of of the depth of this draft is somebody like Ricky Pearsall, because Ricky Pearsall was floated as a 3rd-round guy. I mean, even before the All-Star games, before his testing, he was considered good, but I don't think he was on the national draft radar in any way. When we did sleepers a couple of months ago, he was on my list because I thought he was going to go in the late 2nd round. So he goes 31 to San Francisco. But it shows you kind of how much the draft flattened out around now, around pick 31, maybe even a little earlier, because you're just going to go and get Ricky Pearsall. He's a fast guy. Again, you were talking about winning football. He probably saved his coach's job with some of those catches down the stretch. Unbelievable athlete. Making the route running was awesome. Making catches in traffic. Like I love the guy. And I watched him, and I'm not. I do believe the tape can lie sometimes, but I watched pretty much all of his catches last year. And he just felt to me like a guy's going to get open in the National Football League. And I would have loved him in the 2nd round. I don't hate the Niners going up and getting him at 31 and just saying, screw it, let's do it. C.J. Stroud, I don't know if you guys saw, C.J. Stroud said that he wanted Ricky Pearsall because he was elite. So I don't necessarily hate that. I just think there was a run on wide receivers around this time. Brian Thomas goes 23. Xavier Leggett goes 1 pick after. And then Xavier Worthy, which I want to talk about. So I had a conversation with Brett Veach 5 years ago, something like that, about the types of players that he wants for Patrick Mahomes. And I know this sounds so reductive and stupid, but he really didn't want the fastest people on planet Earth, and then he wanted guys who could improvise off schedule. And that's not an easy thing to do. Improvising. It's easy to be fast if you're a fast guy. It's harder to improvise. And the blueprint he gave then, so this was right after Mahomes' rookie year. The blueprint he gave then was Roethlisberger and Antonio Brown, because it was speed mixed with them always being on the same page in the middle of the field when things broke down. And the idea that Xavier Worthy, the fastest player who's ever run in football, according to the combine, the idea that they're going to have him, even if it's just somebody to worry about on the field, even if they say, okay, you know what, we're still going to do option routes to Travis Kelce, is having that guy on the field is going to be a nightmare for defenses. It's an extra thing. The thing that Veach is always upfront about is that he has at his disposal the two best building blocks in the sport, Andy Reid and Patrick Mahomes. And he always says, but the beauty of the sport, said to me, I don't know if he always says it, the beauty of the sport is that that's not enough. And they're always adding a new thing every year. That's why they win the Super Bowl. I've always said no one wins the Super Bowl because they drafted an elite quarterback. Actually, a lot of teams have done that. They win the Super Bowl because they figured out what to do with the elite quarterback. And the roster they've built around Mahomes has been terrific, and especially on the defensive side of the ball. You're adding Trent McDuffie over the past couple of years. Just look at what they add a new gear every single year. That's why they stay ahead. And Xavier Worthy is that gear for this year. Like, I think this could change everything if he's used properly. And he will be, because he has Andy Reid, he's the best play caller alive. So we always do this where we go, oh, how did the NFL let him go? I'm like, listen, man, like teams were worried about themselves and not what the Chiefs are doing. No one's going to draft a player in order to not have the Chiefs get Xavier Worthy. But I think there's going to be a lot of teams. And by the way, there's going to be a lot of teams that regret this. But what's funny about it is, with the exception of a handful of guys, Clyde Edwards-Helaire never really made anybody pay. He's bad. But what's funny is that Daniel Jeremiah told the story about how you never wanted, even when you were a scout, you never wanted the Colts to draft a lineman. Reason being is that they would always draft these guys that weren't on anybody's radar. And then Peyton Manning got the ball out so quickly that typically, no matter what, the lineman looked really good. And it's a funny way to phrase it, because it's like basically like, you know, it would become a draft miss because the guy would be playing with Peyton Manning, and Peyton Manning would be upright, right? Because of the way he plays, because of the way he sees defenses, because of the way he reads front sevens. And you'd look stupid. And so I don't know. Xavier Worthy would be a success in any team because he's fast. But I don't know if he goes to the looking at the thing. If he goes to the Steelers with Russ Wilson, is that a success? I don't know. Like, if he went to the Raiders with Gardner Minshew, is that a success? I don't know. I mean, like, what this is a fit. I was surprised the amount of people who were like, "Oh, why? How could you let Xavier Worthy slip?" No, I don't know. We're out of themselves. The Chiefs understand who they are. That's why they keep winning. They have an identity.
We all know breakfast is an important part of your day. But sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any. You know what happens? You grab a cup of coffee and skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, and waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
All right, that's pretty much it for me. Big picture takeaways: Bears playoff team, Chiefs are going to the Super Bowl again. Packers just drafting Jordan Morgan. I love the Packers. I think the Packers are probably going to win the NFC. I just came up with that in the last 5 seconds. I think the Packers are going to win the NFC. All right, I will be back on Sunday morning. We're doing mailbag. Get your questions in. DM me or tweet me or thisisfootballpod@gmail.com. I'll put that on Twitter and on socials too. Enjoy the rest of the draft. This is one of my favorite times of the year. I love this. Day 2 and day 3 is where franchises are made, so you'll enjoy it. Thank you to Miles and Michael Flynn. This has been Football.